MMA fans, the XFC is coming to the USF Sundome Friday, June 14th. Visit officialxfc.com for tickets. Be a part of the crowd as the top local and national fighters take to the cage to knuckle up and throw down on national television. Tickets are available starting at $20. VIP and cage side seating available upon request. Visit officialxfc.com for tickets. The next generation of MMA comes to Tampa, June 14th.
On your elbow, like the number of webs means how many years you did, or is it how many stints you did?
Dude, I've heard every story under the sun. I've heard every, you know, those guys with the spider webs on their, like, how many dicks they suck. I don't know. I really don't.
Dude, mine would be how many. Like, if I had one of those for how many broads I fucked, I would have, like, my whole body would, like, just start from one elbow and would emanate everywhere.
One long string.
No, it'd be the smallest tattoo you've ever seen.
Hey, big shout out to Clock Tower Pub, man, number one sports bar in town, man. Also supplying me tonight with my rock star cases at Kick Ass, man. I love it, dude. Case. Also, big shout out to Vision Smoke Shop and Glass Distribution, guys. These guys are throwing it down. Wholesale. They have a store. You guys live local, you want to shop them up. Otherwise, you guys, you know, need bulk orders, hit them up, visionsmoke.com. Look at that. A second rock star just brought to me. Thank you. Also, big shout-out to Clinch Custom Mouth Guards at getclinch.com. Best mouth guards in the business. You know, if they're good enough for us and they're good enough for all the fighters in every league, in every organization around the world, they should be good enough for you. So get out and get them the best. For the best price. Also, I want to give a shout out to MMA Madhouse for letting us steal their equipment again. Let's fucking do it, guys.
Hey, Skip, I didn't even know that any other company made mouth guards. I thought Clinch was the only one that was really making mouth guards and just kicking everybody else's ass. I thought that's what, you know, Clinch is all about.
I know. I'd say probably 45% of the events I watch, somebody on there's clinched.
Oh, exactly. I mean, we're talking even in the Midwest now. You know, I go to an event, and you know they're clinched up. So it's nice to see that everywhere. You know, everywhere. You know, all throughout the United States, fucking France. I mean, we're talking everywhere. Invicta. I mean, any promotion you see, there is somebody sponsored by Clinch. And he's doing big things, man. And you guys need to go out and make sure you guys purchase something. Don't ask for free shit. Lapata gets enough free shit from Clinch, like you said the other day. So, you know, go out and buy something from him right now.
That's a very good point. I need everybody to be buying shit because my free shit train might come to an end if you clowns aren't.
Oh, shit.
Hey, man, your boys tonight, big night of Titan.
Hey, were you guys able to see that video?
My mom.
Yes, I saw your beautiful video. It was nice. It was pretty. Okay. Everything looked great about it.
Dude, you guys like how I did my greenhouse purple?
Dude, all I know is that the best video I saw today was of Carl's chicken coop, bro.
Dude, I saw that video.
Yeah, man, what the fuck, bro?
Dude, a Canadian raising chickens just doesn't sound right when he gets like 8 feet of snow.
What do you mean, dude? Canadians, chickens? It's like fucking a match made in heaven. You know, they always hide behind us Americans anyway, dude. Might as well have some chicken. I'm just wondering if he's gonna start shipping us eggs. Like, is he gonna start trying to pay us in eggs? Like, hey guys, thanks for all the hard work this week. Here's 4 dozen eggs.
Hey, I tell you what, for real, dude. Like, I'm curious the same. Like, is he gonna be getting blue eggs, brown eggs? You know, and dude,
you're gonna get your mama's egg.
Dude, you know what's fucked up? I just learned this the other day with my kid watching TV, one of those kid shows. Do you know how double yolks happen? It's when the egg's all covered, when it doesn't get fertilized, and it comes down, or no, it gets fertilized, and it comes down the tube, and it gains that hard shell around it. Well, sometimes chickens get their wires fucking crossed, and they suck it back up, stick another yolk on it, wrap it up, and the first shell hasn't, you know, coagulated and hardened up yet. It was pretty interesting. They were showing how the x-ray chickens, and they were breaking them open with two, you know, chickens, one, like, partially grown and one still a yolk. Pretty fucking cool.
I just listened to everything you said, Skippy, and still didn't understand shit you said. Straight up.
Okay.
That's just me.
Let's make this party a little bigger.
Nobody understands anything you say, Gregory. Nobody understands anything that comes out of your mouth, man. The only thing that we'll ever understand is when you finally do the truffle shuffle. We're on video for us. What?
Truffle shuffle.
It's tomorrow night at Chris's event. I've got it arranged for him to do the truffle shuffle. He just doesn't.
If he does the truffle shuffle, bro, then he's fucking. He earned some points. It's stalked myself a little bit.
I got to ask a dumb question here that maybe is not so dumb to all the fans listening, but what the fuck is a truffle shuffle anyway?
Dude, it's
bro, come
Goonies,
on, bro.
It's from the Goonies, bro. And you're in Oregon? Come on, man.
Oh, dude.
I know what a fucking truffle is, and I know what a shuffle is. Is it an eating mushroom contest?
So since I'm from Missouri,
and in so many words, Chris Gregory is going to do the truffle shuffle, man, to get the cool points. He's got to gain access, because you remember Mal's like, do it. He's like, come on, do it. And he gets up and he fucking shakes his belly, bro, for the crowd.
Is that the Roy Nelson thing?
No, man.
No, dude, it's a Goonies thing.
Go watch Goonies, bro.
I've watched Goonies. I mean, 1986.
You don't remember
a long time ago.
To get access to get in the house in the beginning, bro? They made him get on a rock and shake his man tits and fucking his belly?
Do you guys want Chris to shake his boots? That's fucking funny. Yeah, Chris, shake your boots on camera.
He's going to shake his belly on camera, dude.
Dude, if he's going to take off the whole pink rash guard, he needs to shake the boobies. Dude, you should have pasties on him when you take it off.
The truffle shuffle.
Dude, breaking news. Chris Gregory not fighting in the rash guard at his next fight.
Whenever that may be.
With Mike Hall. His fight with Mike Hall will be rash guard free.
What is the deal with these fucking internet junkies just fucking jocking my nuts, bro? I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's getting old. It really is. It's like,
you
know, this all happened because I said some fighters in Oklahoma go pro way too early. Well, we know it happens in every state, but I was specifically talking about one person who went 1-6 and then went pro. You know, I mean, that's bullshit. We all know that guy shouldn't have went pro. I said something about it, and then everybody got on my nuts about it. And then me and my buddy Chris Barnes were sitting here trolling each other, and this douchebag named Mike Hall, which Lapati probably knows more about him than I do, this fucking douchebag starts calling me out and shit. I'm like, dude, I'm fucking injured. First of all, you know, you're going to call a dude out that's injured.
Well, no, part that. No. I told him you were injured. I was like, oh, so I always get a kick out of some asshole calling out a guy that's fucking injured.
Come on, but let's be honest. High cholesterol is not an injury. It's a life choice.
Fuck you.
Did he injure his stomach that it won't move when he tries to do the shuffle?
It doesn't move, dude.
Chris, you're going to high crotch him. You're going to high crotch him, take him down, dry hump him for 15 minutes, and it's over.
Oh, Chris is going to win by hugging. Unanimous decision by hugging.
I've done it once. So why wouldn't I do it again? You know what I mean? I'll take that win. It was much more of a thrill to get that win by hugging a dude for 15 minutes plus for losing after fucking a few seconds. It sucked. So
you're proud to admit that you won a unanimous decision by man hugging.
Hell yeah.
Dude, I trained like 3 days for that fight. I mean, come on. Of course I was happy about it. Shit.
Well, here's the thing, bro. Like, you're retarded for even stepping in the cage on a 3-day notice. When you weren't sure if you were ready.
I had notice.
Get called out.
I don't give a shit. What's new, right? I'm always getting called out. What's new? Always has to be some kind of call, right? Fucking my call.
Hey.
Aaron Hall. What the fuck?
Has anybody ever told you, man, fucking stupid is and stupid does, bro? If you sign on to take an opportunity, man, you got to train more than 3 days, bro.
Yeah, you're right, but I got to win.
Look, I'm sending you a picture of your girlfriend.
Which one?
The one who's going to meet you at Cage Warrior. She's in a
I'm hoping the future Miss Lopaki is at Cage Warrior Combat tomorrow night, Amanda Pike. Just throwing it out there.
Another standing.
look here, jabroni.
Hey, yeah, you rice aroni jabroni.
He said rice aroni jabroni.
Dude, I'll make him eat my strudel. Trust me.
Whoa.
That just sounded completely gay.
How come it didn't sound gay when The Rock used to say it?
Well, look what The Rock was wearing when he was saying it, probably. Little booty.
Dude, look at him lately. Dude, those steroids are doing him right. Dude. Oh, my God. Fucking homeboy.
Well, back then when The Rock used to say that, bro, he used to wear, like, rubber booties and fucking, like, man curve bikini, like, Valley Tudo shorts, but they weren't Valley Tudo, you know?
Yes.
So.
Speaking of Valley Judo, isn't Shudo tonight late? Or is it tomorrow? It's tomorrow, huh? There's a bunch of shit. Hey, by the way. Big shout out to the man tomorrow. Jeff Munson should be going to battle here in about, what, 8 hours? 7 hours?
I have no idea, Skip. That's all you, man. You have to fill this in on all these fights, you know. You took your little break and fuck. I mean, you're the one that brings us all this news.
Well, I knew that they had a card Monday, and Wednesday, but I totally forgot that Munson fights. It's got to be like what, probably 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning our time. He's fighting that guy, Magomed Malavico, or however you say it. Munson's a beast. He's still kicking ass. I love it. M1 Challenge 40, folks.
Dude fought everywhere. Fought everyone everywhere. I mean, any promotion. I mean, I just think I'm fighting Oklahoma, for God's sakes. I mean, he's fought everywhere. And I think he's scheduled to fight on June 29th in Kansas City, too.
Hey, did Bobby Lashley fight tonight?
Yeah. Son of a bitch. I needed him to get a fucking TKO in the second, and he fucking submits the guy like a fucking clown.
Yeah, he really just has wrestling.
Just talk about this. DJ Linderman already calling his ass out.
Really? We might be able to make that happen. You know what I mean? Let's contact Joe Worcester and let him know that DJ Linderman wants to fight Bobby Lashley and see if he lets that happen.
Here, you know what?
I'll read you the post.
I don't know if that's a good fight for DJ, man.
Oh,
look at Lashley,
anything's a good
Lashley
fight for DJ.
Huge.
Yeah, but DJ fought a big dude at Legacy last year and fucking suplexed the guy off the fucking mat. It was baller status. And plus, dude, with as much, Titan FC needs to get a real fighter against Bobby Lashley. If that would have been a decent heavyweight fighting him, he would have been ground and pounded out.
I mean, he couldn't finish the fight in the first, and that was, I was shocked. I thought he was going to finish that fight right when he got the easy takedown. I mean, he was taking down Asplund like nothing, you know what I mean? And I think he finished in the first round. I don't know how, he went to the second round anyway, and, he finished it with a key lock, but or Americana or whatever. But, I mean, I don't know, man. Bobby Lashley, he didn't impress me. I thought that, personally, I thought Jake Lindsey versus Zach Freeman should have been the main event, honestly. But Bobby Lashley has that name. And
come on, Luck.
Go ahead.
Who's talking?
I don't think
people want to hear voices, man. They don't want to hear dead air.
Yeah, right?
Dude, I was listening. Shit. You were talking.
Hey, bro, we figured you got a lot to say, so you're carrying all five of us tonight.
Right. Yeah, have you heard the last few nights of Neil LaPonte being on the radio? It's either one night of me talking or the other night of him talking. It was fucking like he was silent all night last night.
I asked the best questions last night, dude. Did you not hear the story I got Miles McDonald to tell us about how he likes to bust a nut by rubbing one out the night before he fights?
No, I did not.
I asked Miles last night, when do you like to take a shit? And little did Chris and I know that was going to go into this whole story about how he told us about how he likes to leave the weigh-ins, go drop a deuce, then get in bed, rub one out, and then wake up in the morning, take another deuce, and then, take another deuce, before he gets to the fights in the afternoon.
Okay.
Like a deuce is a shitting machine.
So with that said,
if he's winning, don't break the ritual.
With that said, I get a message from Miles' mother. And it says, you need to check my son next time on the radio.
Ooh, hold on a second. Okay, I want to go back to this Bobby Lashley shit, okay? Dude, something was bothering me. You guys were talking about the fight and shit and DJ calling him out. And I started thinking, after reading that thing that on DJ's wall that you posted, I read some of the comments, and you know what? That guy's fucking right, dude. That's 70 pounds of fucking roids on that fucking dude's ass. He wrestled at 177 in college.
Wow.
Fighting at 245 right now. He won all his championships at 177. That dude roided the fuck out and doesn't deserve to be fighting on a main card. He's never going to be anything. He should have stayed at 170 and fought there.
Let me just say this, that I know a little bit about Titan, and I know they needed Bobby Lashley because they just, he's a big name, and that's basically why they needed him.
Because Titan is just trying to prove me wrong, these fucking guys. It's not about putting on fights with Titan anymore. Titan is their only goal right now is to, have a fight card so that they can try and prove my claim earlier this year wrong. But putting on one fight card, Joe Worcester, does not make you a promotion again.
Man, you're going to call out Joe. It's Joe Kelly. What are you talking about? Joe's just a master.
Whoever.
Joe Wilson.
Whatever happened to Scotty Mac or whatever the guy was that was working with them?
Who?
Talking about the guy that owns Victory Promotion. Victory now?
Yeah,
Ryan Strada, wasn't he
used to be
he
with
his own promotion, bro.
Yeah, but he used to be with Titan.
Yeah, he was a matchmaker, and he left to go pick back his where he left off with his own promotion. He's done, I don't even know, he's done a few shows since he left him.
Who are you talking about, LaFondre?
Well,
Ryan Strada
is one of the people, but there's also, hold on, I'll figure it out. Dude, I love DJ Linderman's cover photo, dude. He's like got these two hot little ring girls on each arm, big smile on his face.
Lepaki. I know you're friends with him, but why are you riding the nut so hard? Are you a nut rider?
Nut rider? I'm the one that's putting out the information.
Nut rider.
Hey, like I said, I know he's a good guy. I know you're friends with him. But it sounds like you're riding his nuts.
Who watched Titan tonight?
Hey,
all three of you guys?
I didn't watch it.
Shit. I got an important shout-out to give out, man. He's back. He took a couple of weeks off to travel to Amsterdam and tie one on, dirty style. Big shout-out to Jørn, our boy, rocking Madhouse in Norway. Yeah, fucking Jørn, bro. I hope Amsterdam was great. I'm glad you're back and kicking it on the Rogue Show listening tonight, man. Big shout out to you and all the boys over there. Hope you smoke some crazy ganja. I wonder if they call it ganja over there still or if they call it reefer.
Dude, they just call it white widow.
Yeah, dude, like, it's been a long time since I've been to Amsterdam, probably 20 years, but I tell you what. When I was growing up, it was ganja over there. Everybody was like, ganja. You got ganja? And now it's like, everybody's got crazy names. So I'm wondering if they still call it like ganja or do they just call it fucking pot or what? They probably go, can I get a bag of that marijuana? It's marijuana. Okay, I'm going back to reading.
Well, dude, they
got to
be careful
because,
like, you got to be careful over there nowadays because they're trying to get that stuff out of the... Out of it. They don't really want people hitting the HIFA anymore. So here's the question, man. Could Bobby Lashley bench press 700 pounds, Jeff?
No.
You don't think so? The dude's fucking huge, bro.
Doesn't matter. Dude, Kovac is bigger than he can do either.
Who can't?
You know, the good person to ask that, man, because he used to work with Bobby Lashley when he was transforming over to MMA. Get a hold of Roddy Ferguson, man, and ask him about Bobby Lashley personally. Roddy was this, like, strength and conditioning coach to work with him, like, his first four or five fights.
When Bobby Lashley wrestled for WrestleMania 22, the Money in the Bank match, he weighed 275. It's 100 pounds more than he wrestled 4 years earlier. Tell me that's not some steroid motherfucker right there.
Have you ever seen him going into a fight? It looks like he just did some roids. He's like, I mean,
you know what, though, bro? I met Bobby Lashley in person 3 years ago, and he wasn't that big in person to me.
He was probably off his fucking cycle. I mean, let's be real. I mean, that dude probably, I mean, I swear to God, when he comes out or when he does an interview, it looks like he just did a hot rail of meth, man. That motherfucker's like, his eyes are so big, he is just zooming. He's just like, like, I swear to God.
So, let me ask you guys this. How come Bobby Lashley's fighting for Titan, but not for World Series, not for Super Fight League places he signed contracts for both?
The only reason he fought for Titan tonight is because James Krause went to the UFC, and they didn't have, you know, the main event.
That's a
so
likely story. I don't believe that.
Listen,
well,
I promise
first
you.
Off,
I promise
James
you. We'll
Krause
see
was scheduled to fight
Lashley.
For the RFC.
We'll see if we see Bobby Lashley
no,
fight again.
Holy shit.
Hold, no, guys, Kurt, stop the fucking train. Check this out. Where is it? This is, I got, this calls for the music. If we, dude, you tell me he didn't get rid of it. Ah, he did. He's going to play that fucking movie importante. But
here's my million-dollar question. Gregor, you're a reporter.
Hold on one second.
How are you going to think that Cross was fighting for Titan when Cross was signed to the RFA? How did you get those mixed up?
Actually, RFA, it was non-exclusive, and he was still fighting for Titan. He was supposed to fight Clay French in a rematch at his Titan. I know my shit, bro. I know my shit as far as Midwest. But, yeah, he's signed with RFA, but that don't matter. RFA shares their fighters with Titan, if you've ever... I mean, that one.
Muy importante!
Importante!
I think Skippy's
done right now. I am reading that in 2009, Bobby Lashley played a small role in a movie called The Way of the War, and his character was a tattooed Hispanic man. Now, that's an. He deserves an Academy Award for that shit. I don't even know how it could possibly be. That's listed as his film credit. As a role as a tattooed Hispanic man. Yes! 6'2", 275-pound black guy, which I believe he only has one or two tattoos at most, played a tattooed Hispanic man in a movie. That's great. I would fire that cast.
He also played a role in one of the Tap Out movies, Beatdown. Michael Bisping submitted him in one of the fights in the movie.
He played Lucas.
Dude, did Brian Bowles test positive?
Yes.
Wow. And still got
positive
knocked out.
Positive for what? Positive for what?
Test. Testosterone.
Oh. Rrr. Fucking eating horse meat and shit.
Trying to keep that career going. Now it's ended.
Hey, look, if you're doing TRT, at least win your fight.
Well, this wasn't even TRT, apparently. This was like straight over, like straight under-the-counter testosterone.
Wow. Well, I wonder who he bought it from, Alex Overeem or what?
Hey, 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 hey. Whoa, Sean Shirk, bro. Got it from Sean Shirk.
Oh, it's gonna be like the fucking... The Mark McGwire scandal, or fucking, who is it? Who is it? The big scandal in baseball. I don't even watch baseball, so I don't know.
Alex Rodriguez and Braun and about 20 other players.
Yeah, about everybody. Everybody in baseball.
All because of Manny Ramirez's affiliation with this guy.
It's all because motherfuckers don't know how to keep their mouth shut. That's what it all comes down to. That's what it all comes down to.
Shit, 20 players about to get hit with 100-game suspensions for affiliation because that
actually, they're not all going to get hit. They're not all going to get hit with a 100-game suspension. There's only a select few that are going to get hit with a 100-game suspension.
Maybe the ones that keep lying.
Yeah, like Ryan Braun will get the 100-gamer because that's the guy that they're really trying to get after he won the MVP. And then Alex Rodriguez, MLB is just doing them a favor by getting rid of that guy. He's doing the Yankees
look,
a big favor by getting rid of that fucking asshole.
Now, does anybody here blame Brian Caraway for the rampant steroid use of the UFC?
Well, you know, it's not about them little guys. Sean Shirk, Brian Caraway, they're all squirrely little bastards that are taking steroids probably.
Brian Caraway needs to take steroids. Look at him.
Oh,
Caraway's the devil.
Caraway
invented steroids. Inventor of steroids.
Now, we should get his old roommate on the show. If anybody can tell us who his old roommate is, we should call that fucker up I mean, like, give us the lowdown, dude. Was he a dirty bastard? Did he not clean up? Did he leave his needles everywhere?
He's ridiculously clean. It's annoying. Annoyingly clean.
Like, because of drugs, annoyingly clean? Like Robert Downey Jr. when he got arrested for cleaning his house at 2 o'clock in the morning? Or just OCD?
Just self-worship, I think.
How many times do you think he brushes his hair in front of the mirror every day?
When Misha tells him to.
I think it's probably not times. How many times did he stop? It's probably easier to figure out.
So, hold on. Jeff's here now, and Jason's here. So, Skippy, we're gonna do five-person. We'll ask the questions. You've already got one answer from Chris, one answer from me. Jeff and Jason, hold on, I want to make sure I get this. What's cooler, a beast or a wolf?
A beast or a wolf?
Don't be scared, boys. Yeah, that's why we played Ronnie James Dio to start the show. Stand up and shout. And Beast will be coming up for our halftime break. For all you folks out there who want to reminisce, I will be playing Wasp, Fuck Like a Beast, tonight for the break. Dude, that song right there, that's the shit.
All right, guys, it's really not that difficult of a question to answer.
Beast.
What is
a beast,
cooler,
a beast.
Wolf or a beast?
A beast.
I agree with Lepaki, a wolf, because it's the king of its domain.
Dog.
Wolf pack.
No.
Wolf pack.
Wolves are the top of the food chain, bro.
The dog food chain.
No, of any food chain.
Dude,
wolves
I
have no
you,
natural
Jeff,
predators.
I put you
wolves
in a cage
no
with a wolf,
predators.
You're going to lose.
Wolves
you
have zero natural predators.
You can have wolf sandwiches for a week.
Jeff's like, I can bench press more than a fucking wolf, Skip.
I'm going to tear his limbs off. Stuff him in his ears.
When
he's wolf
eating
sandwiches
your throat
for a week.
Out? He'll be eating your throat out and you'll be giving him a hand job. That's the best offer you're going to get.
Hey, what are
have
the
you guys,
odds that a hero of all of ours that's fighting in the morning in my main man, Melvin Manhoff, against Mamba Kaladov, who's going to win that fight?
Manhoff.
See, I don't know, man. Kaladov's a sick little fuck. He's pretty badass.
But he's going to get into a street fight with Manhoff and lose.
So, Jason, which one are you taking, wolf or beast?
Do you hear me say wolf pack, son?
Well, looks like the wolves take it. 3-2.
Right on. 3-2,
okay.
Wolf over beast, bitches.
Perfect.
I hate being in the majority. Majority of people are idiots, so if I'm not in the majority,
dude,
I'm in a good place.
You're teamed up with Utter Butter, bro.
No, there's no team. There's no, that's not that kind of sport.
Dude, you won't fight your teammate? You're saying you'd fight your teammate?
Oh, yeah, sure. Which one?
Dude, he would.
Any of them. Sure.
How much money would it take for you to fight Stormy in a straight up bare knuckle brawl?
I'd do it for free.
Oh, that's a dedicated white trash trailer living motherfucker right there. Call some gasoline, think he's Elvis, and smack her around.
I didn't say I'd win. I said I would fight her. Bitch is crazy. You could be in trouble.
Oh, man. Okay, so...
And a shake under a giant boob is not good. Scary.
Dude, we were all talking a little bit of fighting a second ago. Lepaki Fury MMA starts in about 2 hours down there in your land of the Down Under. So all you folks down there, get ready to crack a Foster's and throw a shrimp on the Barbie, whatever the fuck they say.
Why'd you ask if Bobby Lashley could bench 700 pounds?
You know, because he's big, dude.
Oh, yeah,
and I figure that you can tell me the truth.
He probably can't even bench 500. So unless that was his goal at one point, was to bench up a little weight. Otherwise, no one ever gets that heavy.
He can't bench press the syringe, though. That's why he looks so goddamn big.
I think he's up he's 240, right?
He's a big dude. He was smaller this fight. I mean, he looked legitimately cut up for this fight. I mean, he looks cut up every fight, but he was smaller for this fight. He plans to go to 205, is what he said in the interview.
Who?
Be any good?
Who?
Bobby Lashley's
going to go to. Yeah, dude. Mike Dolce couldn't get him to 205. I'm telling you right now, dude, Lepaki's on the right key, dude. This KSW card, folks. I know a lot of you Zuffa zombies out there probably don't even know what the fuck its abbreviation is for, but long story short, Kendall Groves on that card, and I think he's about to get another loss against Michael Materia, or Matara, or however you say it. But my fight on that card, Lepaki, I didn't even realize that was this card, is Big Sexy, is taking on Putsanowski. I'm interested to see what he's going to do with somebody of Sean's caliber.
What time, bud? What time does that start?
Like,
we got about
9:30.
10 hours.
Like about 9:30 or so. About 11 your time.
Okay, I guess I'm gonna be taking a nap, waking up, watching that, and then heading off to BFC 7. Dude, that's cool. Kendall Crow's on the card, and dude, I think Kendall will take that fight.
Why do you sound drunk?
I don't know, man.
What do you mean, why do I sound drunk? I'm drunk.
It's just plain English. Oh, okay.
I'm
that makes sense.
Dude, hey, hold on, Jeff. Jeff, I want to go back to what Chris just said. Look, dude, he ain't fighting no fucking chump, dude. This guy's on like a 9-fight win streak. He's like 12 or 13. The guy's legit, man. He's a tough SOB. And think about this. And I know a lot of you folks out there won't even know who this is, let alone understand. I believe that going to a decision with Matt Horowitz not a year and a half ago says a lot about this guy's fighting ability. Okay? He also went to a decision, you know, against Chase Silva, which I don't find as impressive, especially after the last 9 months or a year that Chase Silva has, what he's been doing with his career. But this guy's fought some good people, and I believe he's going to fucking beat Kendall Grove.
I haven't went into decision.
Dude, let's see. Dude, lost to, he did lose to Evangelista, but that was a jungle fight. That was in 2005. Wow, this guy's been fighting for a while. Chris, he's 18-3 overall. He has a loss to, you know, Cyborg, to Mosey Roman, and to...
The male Cyborg. You should probably clarify that
yeah.
You got a loss to the male Cyborg.
And Antonio Menendez in 2007. He hasn't lost since 2007. And beating Horowitz, Silva, Rodney Wallace, I mean...
Oh, that's a big win.
Well, what I'm saying is, dude, it's better than who the fuck Kendall Groves been fighting. You know? I mean, fuck, dude, let's be honest. Kendall Groves went up to, what was it, Bama? No, not Bama. What Canadian event did he go up to? And he sure the fuck didn't. Yeah. And, dude,
He lost to Jay Silva, and he fought Derek Brunson in show fight. He's probably had, four or five fights in show fight, and that was outside of the UFC. I think he's had five
fights. Dude, he just beat Imanari, too, didn't he?
No, he lost to Jesse Taylor last month.
No, he
did it 4 months ago.
Minowa, man. And then he lost to Jay Silva. Then he beat Derek Brunson. Then he beat Joe Cronin. Then he beat Ariel some fucking guy.
But
then he lost to the guy
that
was fighting the man.
That fight, he looked like shit up there at AFC. At Natural Selection, he looked like crap.
That's because he was on the radio with us tonight before we had him up partying, bro. He's got to fight my guy Valentin Petrescu here coming up at that card with Ivan Salisbury on it. Kendall will be on the same card as Ivan Salisbury. Hey, shut your mouth. Now that you're back, I'm glad I can say that to you. I miss being able to say that.
Muy importante. Muy importante.
Breaking news. This is important. You guys, this has never happened in the lifetime of the Rogue Show. Chris Gregory, I know you just said DJ Linderman would get whooped if he ever stepped in against Bobby Lashley. Say it to his face. He's live on the air.
Oh, right. I never
whooped by Bobby Lashley. Give me a break.
Bobby Lashley?
I never
Are you kidding me?
Listen.
Oh, my God. If that guy, if he would have had a decent fighter in there with him instead of some guy they just threw in to get a loss. Oh, my God. Bobby Lashley would have been in trouble in the end of that second round. Third round, he would have been demolished.
Chris, you proved how drunk you are right there. You proved that you are not just drunk, you're wasted.
I never said nothing like that. I never said anything such. I would never say anything. Actually,
don't call Skippy a liar.
Hey, I am calling Skippy a fibber right now, okay? He is fibbing. And second of all, I hit up the matchmaker immediately when you said that, and I said, Bobby Lashley versus DJ Linderman, and only Lapati knows the response, and it's hilarious. Let me tell you that.
Jay,
I want to ask DJ, were the two ring girls at Fighters Arena really that hot?
They were pretty damn hot. They were a little and Polish mixed together. Oh, man.
I mean, that brunette was fucking smoking hot, bro. And you just got the biggest smile on your face. You're like, yeah, lady.
You like that picture with both of them? I had it posted on my Facebook as a big picture.
Now, what did the missus think about that picture when you posted that shit? Did you hear about it?
Oh, she just laughed about it. She seen the picture with me and Ronda Rousey on the way home. She already knew who Ronda was, so she wasn't worried about that.
Dude.
So how's things going down in NorCal right now, bro?
It's going pretty good. I'm down here. I'm actually moving down here to Santa Rosa. Down here with David Terrell, NorCal Fight Alliance.
Yeah,
nice.
You've been talking a lot about that lately, how much you've enjoyed it down there. What kind of facility they – I mean, is it just, you know,
oh, no, they
a
got
standard
a great facility, man. I spent 5 minutes in there and – or I did one five-minute round with Dave Terrell and got subbed four times. So it was great to walk into a gym where you're not the big brother and you're not in there just beating up on people or anything like that, you know. And being able to go in there and, you know, you have a challenge. You have a guy submitting you. There's a great bunch of guys there. You got Joe Soto that comes in there from Bellator. There's a bunch of guys. Guy signs with World Series. A couple other guys that's been in the UFC. But they put it on you in there. And it's like a gym that I can really look forward to going to every day. There's 40 guys in there in the evening. You just switch in and out with all different types of diversity. So, you know, it's a place I'm looking to call home.
Will you do any cross training up at DSC?
Oh, yeah. Well, I got a few members up there I'm still going to be training with. I'm going to get Bo the Show Hamilton down here with me, hopefully. I'm moving away from that. Me and Tommy Davis had our split and our disagreements, and you know I've had my last days there. But I got a fight coming up, so I got to train hard right now.
Who's your next opponent?
You guys might even laugh on this one. It's supposed to be Mike 300 Hayes come June 22nd.
Get the fuck out of here.
No. And guess what promotion? It's going to be on the Diaz War promotion.
You're fucking
I have my contract in my hand right now.
At 205?
Dude. A heavyweight.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Did you not like how it went the last time?
Is he, I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, DJ, this is a guy that you fought twice. You beat him two times, one time for the Cage
Warrior
title.
This time, you know, I just have to take it to a finish, you know, and just put a stamp on the situation.
That is crazy.
And he's taking the fight just, you know, out of being pissed off and getting another chance to, I don't know what the chance is, but for him, but just to get another shot at me, I don't know. But it was either him or Carl Montano or something like that, you know. But either way, they sent me the contract. You know, there isn't a opponent even on the contract. It's either Mike Cage or this Carl guy out of Mendez's camp. It doesn't really matter. You know, I've been training. I keep in shape. And I'm going to go in there and fight June 22nd down there and show them guys, you know, how NorCal guys fight.
Hell yeah. Hey, DJ, let me ask you something, a quick question, because I know you fought over in Europe. You fought in Russia a couple times, if I'm not mistaken, as well, right?
No, not Russia. I fought in Poland, Ireland, Jordan.
So when you were in Poland, because you might as well kind of consider it, you know, almost the same thing as Russia, because it's the same area. How was the treatment over there from the fans and just, you know, as a whole?
It was great, man. After that fight, it was pretty much like it was in Jordan. You know, people rushing the cage. You know, everybody was against me from the beginning, you know, and I did what I said I was going to do. I was going to go over there and get a second round TKO over Michael Chita and went over fans. And that's exactly what I did. I went over there and just destroyed him and turned everybody, you know, that thought I was just a nobody coming over there. And I took out their lion that they had.
Right. Right on. Yeah, because, you know, currently I don't want to say who the promotion is, but you know, I'm looking at with one of my guys that I represent an option with a promotion over there, and for people that I know that have fought over there, been wanting to get their feedback as far as the general presence, like how you were treated when you were over there, you know.
Yeah, you know, it was pretty damn good. They're actually bringing me back to defend that belt in November, and they're bringing me out there for 10 days this time instead of you know, trying to bring me out there to lose by bringing me out Tuesday, flying me out Tuesday, land Wednesday, weigh in Thursday, fight Friday.
And you've got that locked down then for sure, and an opponent, or have they named the opponent yet?
Oh, they're gonna name the opponent. It was in the contract. It was supposed to be Kitta.
Okay.
As a rematch, just in case I did win, and then the promoter and the matchmaker told me later, they're like, we're not going to have you fight Kitta. It was just horrible. So
they're going to put you probably against that Micah guy, huh?
Adam Maja?
Most likely,
and he's a cool guy. He took us kind of under his wing that night after the fight. You know, he's an awesome guy. Like, he spent the last 10 years here in the States over in Chicago, and he's a pretty cool guy. You know, Kitta was a pretty cool guy. He was the first guy to befriend me at the hotel. He came up to me, started talking to me, sat down while we were eating, and just bullshitted me about Bellator, how, you know, Bellator did some stuff to him, and we just, you know, went into a discussion and stuff. And, you know, I respect the guy. He does what he does for a living, and he went out there, and it just wasn't his night.
Well, you know, I think, honestly, from that whole night, you know, like I said, the Adam Matakowski, or however you say it, and the Michael Waldrick, I think those two were two of the prime guys out there that, and especially Michael, you really got to see him perform through the whole fight. He fought a really tough guy, wouldn't go down, you know. So,
is that the guy that looks like a roided-out Rick Story?
Yes. Dude, honestly, that's the way to say it. I mean, he really did. And, you know, I know
I'm
the guy
sitting there looking at him the whole time like, holy shit, this could be Rick's, like, twin brother, but on steroids.
But with the chance to defend your title over there for a good organization that has, a, you know, they were able to put, what, I think, what, you guys have 8 or 9 fights, all heavyweights on that card? So they put a good class of fighters there, and I believe there's 2 or 3 there that could, you know, possibly win and you know, fight you for your title over the next, you know, year or two. I mean, that's got to feel good to be able to see that they have a deep pool at your weight class.
Oh, yes. They have an awesome pool of heavyweight fighters over there, and they're athletic fighters, not just guys that want to come in there and just bang them and that's it. That these guys are well-rounded fighters. I, you know, I look forward to the challenges that they bring for me.
DJ, when are we going to see you back in the World Series cage?
Oh, I was asking that question this morning to Mr. Ali himself. So I'm waiting on a hit back from him. He didn't even know I went over there and won in Poland. He was like, when I talked to him, he was like, we can, if you want, we can let you out if you want out of your contract because of the loss you got with Dreisel. I was like, you know, I just came up with a big win. He's like, oh, you won? I was like, yeah. So go check yourself and, you know, look at everything and get back to me because they got a, you know, World Series coming up in August and they got another one in September. So they better have me on that card.
Now, are you still wanting to make the trip down to Combat 8, or is that in the
Yeah, July 27th. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that. I want to get some more, you know, more phone calls between us, you know, get things settled. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you at C8 for the 8-match tourney.
Yeah, that is sweet. So things are going great. I mean, obviously, building your family. You found a great gym that you really like and that, you know, it's really got, obviously your fire's burning again. You just picked up another title to probably throw in your closet with all your others. you know, so 2013 has got to be looking like a great year so far, really.
Yeah, definitely. It's coming off better and better. You know, I'm looking to get another, you know, like last year, I'm looking to get another 6 fights in this year. You know, I just want to fight as much as I can, you know, without getting hurt, you know, doing it safely. But I'm loving how 2013 is looking.
So everything's going to progress the way it seems to be progressing for you. We're definitely going to see you fighting at least 2 more times out of the country, for sure, if right now as it stands, right?
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely liking this international. I was hit up last week for a fight in October in Brazil. So, you know, things are coming to me all year. So, you know, I'm waiting on tomorrow night's fight with I believe it's tomorrow night with Trevor Prangley versus Lopez, right?
Yeah, that's the rematch.
Yep, I'm waiting on it, the winner, to see if Prangley wins, and if he wins, it's going to hopefully be me and him August 23rd in Idaho.
That's next week when they fight. Thursday.
Next week?
Next Thursday, yeah.
Yeah.
Will you be able to watch it on that?
That's all I'm waiting on with that is, you know, the word back from Prangley. We're waiting on him to say, yes, I won, and I want to fight Wimbledon. So, yeah, I'm waiting on that for August 23rd.
Does Lopez duck you?
What's that?
Does Tony Lopez duck you?
Lopez? Not really. I've never really put out a challenge to Lopez at all. I'm not really did a real big thing with King of the Cage. I've dealt with him before with some of my guys. But I wouldn't mind going in there and being in their champ, you know. It doesn't matter.
Let me ask you something. Okay, we all here know and respect you, and we respect your opinion a lot. I haven't had much of an opportunity to sit down with somebody who's at your caliber and ask them this question. Okay, Tony Lopez built a great career in King of the Cage. I do not, and my opinion is, I do not believe that he's ever going to be UFC worthy. When you look at somebody's career like that, as a fighter standing back, can you look at it honestly and say, dude, he rocked that block. That's the only block he's ever going to rock in his life. Or do you guys sit back and say, well,
I believe, you know, he I believe he did what what he was looking to do, you know, find an organization and be that face of it. I'm not sure if his goal was to be the main world champion, you know, UFC style. But he did what he was looking to do. He became the face of King of the Cage, being the champ over there. But I feel like he's on his way out, and I think he does too. And I think this is going to be pretty much a retirement fight for him.
Now, he's somebody who's tried to do like you and a very few other guys, and that's fight multiple weight classes. And in no way, shape, or form do I not think that he shouldn't retire when he's ready to and say, look, I had a great career. I owned this block for many years. And I'm the first person to say, it's not always about the UFC. If you can find a home to where you can build a fan base and have successful fights against talent that you believe is testing you, then by all means, stay where you're at, get paid, and fight your ass off and enjoy it. You know, the UFC is not everything. But in the last year or so, he's on this big push about he should be in the UFC, that he could easily beat, their 5 through 10 in the UFC. And I agree. He's somebody I feel that's towards the tail end of his career, and I don't believe that, you know, he's capable of that. I think he should be happy where he's at. If you were to end up and spend 6-7 years rocking a promotion with multiple titles somewhere in this world, not be in the UFC, would you be happy with a career like that?
You know, I'll be happy anywhere my career takes me. It doesn't have to be in one promotion. You know, like I said, my time is going to be done when I'm 36. I gave myself that date. Like I said, anywhere I'm at in my career, if I'm on top, if I'm in the middle, if I'm in the top 20 in the world, it doesn't matter where I'm at. You know, I'll be happy with my career and what I've done.
Dude,
hold on, DJ. That doesn't give us very many more years, does it? How much longer is that? How long until you're 36?
That's almost 7 more years.
Okay, good.
Minus the 3 in Cuba, because we're not going to count those years.
Hey, now,
I think 14 years, after 14 years, you've earned your spot in this sport, so.
Hey, how excited for Bo were you when he told you that he had the fight at West Coast Fighting?
Oh, dude, excited, man. When he hit me up about it, and I heard who you're fighting, I heard the kid's pretty tough, you know. I can't wait to get some rounds in with him to get him ready for this fight. You know, I want to see him at his best, and his best is at 145 pounds. That is where he should be, and where he is going to be the most dominant.
Dude, I see it's kind of one of those things where Bo has really never fought at the lower weight classes because he's kind of has that DJ mentality where he's just going to take fights. And he fights these big-ass sons of bitches. Like, I mean, when we watched him fight up here, the guy he fought must have had 8 inches on him and easily probably 15 to 20 pounds of just walking weight. But now he's fighting at a class where he'll act say, fit in better and be with guys more his own size. I'm going to see a hard time where a lot of 145ers can keep up with his strength.
Oh, definitely, man. When he rolls with me, oh, man, he's rolling with a heavyweight, and he's tossing me and turning me over, submitting me. So when he has that strength put down on a 145er, he's just going to tear him up. He's going to eat him up.
Dude, now, hey, DJ, have you ever considered fighting in South Africa?
Definitely. I was just looking at that ESC. I never had any interest in it, but seen that it's getting bigger down there. So.
Dude, bigger?
Dude,
oh, my.
Great organization,
dude, yeah.
Bro. Great organization.
You would, and honestly, actually, I just saw that a friend of ours, Kenye Dixon, who signed, he's finally got his fight all locked down and the situation there. So ESC is a great, great organization with a ridiculous fan base, television deal, international movie theater deal. Dude, they rock it. They'll bring you down and they will pump it up. And one of the coolest things that they have, DJ, when you go to their website, you look in their heavyweight class. Me and Lapaki did this one night for like an hour.
They have the coolest breakdown you've ever seen of a fighter's abilities, and it's broken down by 8 categories. And, dude, it's sick. You can, I mean, literally, you'll get in there and you can tell, like, this guy's got strictly hands and no ground, or this guy's got great defense, okay hands, and a ridiculous ground. I mean, they lay it all out for you. It's beautiful.
The only thing that I want to give you a heads up about, though, Jeremy, if you do, Jeremy, if DJ, if you end up going to South Africa, one of my guys fought there a couple of years ago, and because of the sea level difference, he was telling me that by the second round, like, he couldn't breathe, and it was tightening his chest because he didn't have a time to adjust to it. So if you do go, make sure they bring you in at least, like, you know, a week early so you can get acclimated to it.
Well,
yeah,
and now
yeah,
they do. With all the
because they're like 16,000 feet below, above sea level or something like that, he was telling me. Something crazy.
In South Africa?
Damn.
Yeah, it was something crazy that, like, it's the sea level is very high, yeah.
Climbing in her It's pretty much like using my training mask, huh?
And then some. I mean, because this dude, Julio Gallegos, I mean, this kid cuts grass during the day, trains twice a day, and does cardio for forever. He's an 85er, and he went down there and fought, I don't know, 3-4 years ago. And he said by the time of the second round, like, he couldn't breathe. Like, it was just felt like his chest was just tight. And, you know, I mean, he fought the kid to a decision, but, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, he's like, if
might,
I ever go,
might,
I got to
hey,
make sure that I.
You might be backwards on that, Jason, because the highest point in all of South Africa is only 3,400 meters, and the lowest.
Okay,
is,
maybe it's below then, than it was causing it.
Yeah.
But I know what he told me that.
Because the lower the elevation, the thicker the air gets.
Yeah,
okay,
it's at 0 meter sea level.
He just
yeah,
believes
I mean,
the breeze by the second round, bro.
Yeah.
Within 3 feet of the sea level.
When I'm over here at, I'm pretty much over here at zero over here in Santa Rosa. I'm over on the coast over here by you know where Santa Rosa is, over here by Frisco. So, but in Dave Carell's gym, dude, it is like hell in there. You're in there pouring sweat. You could barely breathe in there. I thought I was in a fucking sauna, a dungeon, man. But that's how they like it in there, and you know I like it. Bo likes it like that, yeah. But yeah, thanks for the info. If I ever make it over there, oh, I'm
gonna
get
adjusted. Make sure you get brought in early enough to get adjusted, bro.
Hell yeah,
you know.
Hey, and that's the thing is if it is at one of the like, you know, I'm not sure where they held the last events, but if it's at an arena that is up in the mountain base, you are talking 6,000 feet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a drastic between sea level. But either way, the organization usually brings a lot of their fighters in about a week to 10 days out because they do mass media push with these guys on hundreds of radio stations, television. If you follow them at all, man, I mean, I do. I get an email.
Yeah,
every
I'm
going to
start
following
them. I just seen that. You know, I've seen them a while back, but I hadn't seen much of it, and then seeing that they were doing some more broadcasting of the UFC and stuff like that. So,
and I'll tell you this much, Lapaki, you were with us the night that Tenye said that the paycheck from them was substantially better than the Bellator offer he got.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell anybody to sign a Bellator. Hellator, man. It's not Bellator. It's Hellator.
It's Hellator.
Dude, it's Viacom Fighting.
Because they treat
their fighters like, it's like if you go fight in Bellator, you might as well just go fight in hell.
Hey, that, those
I love,
are like
I love
words
you, Bjorn.
Exactly the same words Kidda had.
That's funny.
Paul Daly, Eddie Alvarez.
Dude,
well,
dude, to me, the best is the doo-doo fucking Tyson deal, you know? You know, you don't even know this guy's under contract with you because you guys let him sit for 2 years. He sends you a letter to fight in Brazil. You say, yeah, whatever, and send it back, and he knocks out your fucking champ. And now you guys turn around and sue him. Right there, you guys are jackal pieces of shit. First of all, you shouldn't let him sit on a shelf. Second of all, you should pay the fucking attention to who he's fighting. And when he knocked out your champ, I don't care if it was lucky or not. Done deal. You gotta put
he didn't look too good against Marlon Moraes, bro.
No,
well,
he's
yeah,
beat,
but
that's
dude,
not
I mean,
the point.
Marlon
that's
Moraes.
Not the point.
Like, that's
the
a
point
tough
is,
matchup
they
for
paid
most
attention.
People.
And you can't punish a fighter.
I got to head out. I got to do the movie night with the old lady and the unborn kid. So, it's movie night.
Well, hey, man. DJ, thanks for calling in, brother. You know, we always love having you on. And have some popcorn and Skittles now so that you can make sure you make that weight for the Mike Hayes fight.
Oh, definitely, man. All right, man. You guys have a good night.
All right, later,
you
bro.
You too, killer.
Everybody,
get out there. Go for it, Bucky.
No, you can do it, buddy. You're back in the saddle. Go ahead, Skippy. I just forgot
hey,
I have you here. He's going to have to do that for these guys.
Hey, let's play a fucking commercial break, everybody.
Hey,
we'll be back
pal, in your mouth.
Before the commercial break, though, man, let me give a shout-out to my boy Anthony Hopkins from GBH Management. He works for DDS, man, or DSS, I'm sorry. And he's stuck in Afghanistan, bro, and I send him a link so he can listen to the show. They got it blocked where you can't click on it to be able to listen to the Rove show in Afghanistan. So shout-out to him for trying,
yeah.
man, you know, keeping up with
the
everything.
The Jews win! The Mexican Jews have risen! We have power! Tacos Locos, kosher style!
He's stuck over there, bro. Hey. He's over there for a 15-month deployment. Fuck.
Dude, I will download every episode and send it to him. Does he want me to start with episode one? I will, dude. That's cool, dude. We got mad love for people overseas that want to listen to us in Afghanistan and can't. You know what? It's probably because I'm Jewish. I guarantee it. They're like, oh, dude, skip
it.
Oh,
no, dude.
Hey.
It's like the government's like, hold on. We can't have him listening to Lopaki, man. He's telling too much truth about us right now. Him and Derek Breen are so on point
then?
With their conspiracy. They're like, these conspiracy guys on that show, we have to be careful with letting them listen in.
Well, apparently, like, anything like that, that's just all blocked out, bro, for those guys that are on the bases and shit like that, whether you're a contractor or even active duty military. They don't, from what he explained to me, like, they're not able to access any of it.
Well, hey,
blocked.
That's a bummer. Here's a big shout-out to your boy. This is a little wasp. Fuck like a beast.
Yeah. Hey, listen up. If you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouth guards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards fabricates custom mouth guards for all professional and amateur sports, mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouth guards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouth guard today at GetClinched.com. Again, that's GetClinched.com for all of your mouth guard needs.
All right, everybody. We're back. I believe Mr. Anthony is with us. Anthony. Hello? Well, I don't know. I know I'm here. I think everybody else is.
Yo, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Man. Like, I was just talking to him, you know, he was implementing me on Facebook. They allow me to go on Facebook and Skype and all things like that, but they don't let you download Blog Talks Radio to listen to it.
Mm.
Or click on the link. It's blocked. It's crazy. But,
it's because Skippy put that as mature audience, I think.
Yeah,
no,
it's
something to do with Afghanistan, the way the government is over there and things that they allow and don't allow. But he did say this, and he's going to send me the address, and I'll pass it on to you, Skip, and any of the shows you download and send to him or whatever, you know, he's definitely appreciative to keep him in the loop with the MMA world.
I can download him. Hey, Anthony, is this
us? Anthony. Come out and play. Yay.
Hey, actually, maybe that's DJ again.
I don't think it is.
Pocket dial this.
I don't even think they can hear me. I think I'm just on hold.
No, we can hear you.
Really? You can hear me?
Yeah.
This is Devin. You guys are, like, totally way off on your estimate.
Dude, Devin, what the fuck is up, brother?
Dude, I, like, just try to call in. I'm confused. I'm being called DJ Linderman. Like, things are way off.
Dude, welcome to the Rogue Show, everybody. This is the one and only Devin Ashrick, man. The man behind the scenes. How's it been going, bro?
Yeah, very far behind him somewhere.
Dude, is this Lopaki? Is that who that is also on here? Wow. It must be Friday night because...
You're on here with Jason Ellis. You're on here with Clinch, Chris Gregory, LaBlanc.
Holy
myself.
Shit. Holy cow. It's like the whole crew. I'm a little intimidated.
Team High Crotch.
Man. Team High Crotch, baby. Dude, so how's your new place?
The new place is good. The new place is it's solid. I feel a little bit more stable. Ready to get back in the whole grind of things. How's everything going for you guys?
Pretty good, man. You know, I'm still getting fat and old. I think Lepaki's now a white belt.
A white belt. Like somebody gave you a belt? Because, I mean, that, like, happened to me, too. I've got a white belt. It doesn't really mean anything. Like, it's a belt. Like, I wear it. But, I mean, that's cool. That's cool.
Where are you?
Dude, I don't have to come up to your gym and show you. I don't have to go, what did Aaron call it? Dojo storm your gym on you. Be
dojo
careful.
Dojo storm.
Dojo storm. Dude, if you want a dojo storm, like, impact, feel free. Because, I mean, I'm telling you, it won't end as well as you think it does. Like, you might beat me, but, I mean, you're going to be stuck at impact. Like, good luck.
Dude, I'll bring some killers.
Dude, they've got some killers, I'm telling you. Be wary.
I'll bring my guy Emmanuel Sanchez, Brent Primus.
Emmanuel Sanchez is legit.
I know. He's one of my Northwest martial arts teammates till the end of the month when he transfers out to Rufus Sport.
You're going down to Eugene then to train, or?
Yeah. Well,
gotcha.
I work down there.
They've got
so
some good dudes down
break,
there, man.
On my lunch break, I go do jiu-jitsu.
Nice. Because
I work there.
Word. Well, way to be a boss.
Hey, where are you? When are we gonna see you in the cage again?
I don't really know yet. I mean, I'd like to say like late summer, early fall. I just kind of like have been in this process of moving and getting settled again, and then would like to get back in the routine and get things situated. I mean, I'd like to do back at 170. I did 185 for my debut, but I feel like 170 is where I should actually be. So, you know, just going to get back in the grind and I don't know. It's been a pain. Like the last time I tried to set up a fight, I had three guys back out within a week and a half of the actual fight. So it's been more of a pain to get people to show up.
Yeah, Jeff can get you a fight. You know, clinch, man. He's a matchmaker for everybody. My question is, I know a lot of fans out there listening to the Rogue Show tonight don't know a lot about you, but I got to ask you from, you know, just knowing things. Has this last 8 months, a year, the ups and downs, has this been part of the complete documentary, or have you put that on hold, or what's going on with that?
I'm definitely still keeping notes and writing and documenting as it happens. I don't know, like part of me has always been kind of a documentary. So, you know, it's been an interesting 8 months in the curve. The last year especially has been really interesting. So I feel like altogether it's a complete package, but I don't know how much of the last 8 months specifically I'd like to reminisce on, but it's been a growth, and I definitely could not be where I'm at with if it wasn't for the MMA community. So I feel like if I don't do my best to give back on that, then I would be doing it an injustice. So Oregon MMA has kept me alive and breathing, for sure.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So have you been watching much MMA lately? Are you going to get up and watch some crazy MMA tomorrow?
Dude, I'm definitely down to watch some tomorrow. I haven't been doing as much local MMA as I'd like. I mean, I've been making out to – I didn't make it out to the last FCF event, but I made it out to the one before that, as well as the was that a negative sound for the FCF? I made it out to the United Combat Sports Show down in Salem a couple months ago. That was a really
Charles
good show, as well
Jr.
as the
– is the man.
Yeah, and
my
Prime
buddy.
Fighting – up in Vancouver. Prime Fighting was actually pretty legit too for their very first show. I'd like to see what they do in the future. So
now,
yeah,
I gotta ask you, with everything the way it's going, are you gonna maybe this summer try to get down and cover some Rogue fights?
You know, I'd like to, man. I keep feeling bad because like every time I have an event, it's like we have a real big event here in Oregon or in the Pacific Northwest, but I loved covering Rogue Fights events, and Mike Brown treated us really awesome. I'd love to get back down there and cover another fight for Rogue Fights, man. They put on some awesome top caliber fights, so I'd love to get back there and check those out again.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, man. Rogue Fights were legit. You know, I've only been to the one, but it was a great event, good venue. You know, they put on some good fights down there, and attracting more and more talent from up here in Oregon, which is really like a high motivator for me to want to get down there to Northern Cali and check it out.
Well, and honestly, I mean, the last three events, he's had at least one fight from all three events made inside access, you know, that top 10 knockouts or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
yeah.
You know, that's pretty good, you know. Three events, he's been there three times, so, you know, obviously he's
no,
you know, put his fights.
Definitely. Dude, the fights are super exciting. The one that I was able to make all the way down there for was super, super great, man. I have zero complaints about the whole thing, man. Top to bottom, it was a sweet event. The only thing is I wish I would have been able to get more video coverage to be able to share it with more people, because dude, like, their fights are really good, and they match the best of the best from Vegas to Washington. I mean, the entire West Coast was covered in those events, so I like them a lot, man. I'd love to get back down there and check out another Rogue Fights event.
Are you going to cover some Dead Serious 7 tomorrow night?
Some what?
The Dead Serious 7?
I mean, I'm down to cover whatever tomorrow night. Whatever you send my way, it's Saturday night. It's MMA night. I'm down to watch fist fights, man.
That's
like, MMA is my Saturday night.
That's going to be a great card, folks. You guys can go out there and get it on GFL Live. Remember, you buy it once, you have it on demand for life. Dude, this is Frankie
GFL.
Perez. Dude, Frankie Perez, he does Muay Thai fights also, along with Dead Serious. This guy puts on some really, really great cards, man. You're going to really enjoy it. It's a great event. And for everybody else out there, dude, tomorrow night, don't forget, Siam Fight Productions, the Junior Muay Thai World Grand Prix Final. These guys flew in 20 competitors from around the world to fight in this big tournament. And I'll tell you what, it's coming down to a guy from Mexico versus a kid from Canada. Ruben Cruz versus Amin Alamik. And, dude, not only does the winner get a title, the winner gets 2 weeks in Thailand training at one of the sickest gyms in the world. Yeah, and, dude, listen to this statement, man.
He's coming to Northwest Martial Arts?
No, but this company's motto is, these guys are fighting as amateurs, but we'll treat them like pros. No other company or organization in North America or the world are flying in the most gifted Muay Thai practitioners at a minor age. So these guys, I mean, this is all amateur, dude. And what's craziest, these guys pack it out and put on some sick, sick fights. So you guys get out there and support them, man. Great stuff. I wish we could see something like that in MMA. Not just kickboxing and Thai, you know. My question is, maybe one of you guys, look, you guys know I'm a big fan of Thai fighting K1, kickboxing fights. How come a company like this can pull this off, a world title, and literally bring in fighters from around the world, sell out the arena, do ridiculous numbers on their pay-per-views, and then afford to still do a second event and fly these dudes across the world to train for 2 weeks, the winner and one friend, all expenses paid? How come they're able to be this successful?
You answered your own question. First, you asked the question, and then you said all the ways that they can because of the money they're making off of the pay-per-views alone. That's the sick numbers. There's no reason they couldn't spend a few grand bringing these guys in to make it an even better show to get the same numbers the next summer better. They just got a little formula working.
So how come we're not seeing this with amateur MMA?
Someone's got to eat it first. You're going to have to, there's got to be that market. There's got to be that, where's the talent at? And where's the, you know, we're so spread out in MMA, so many different places, where in Thai boxing, it's not so spread out. You know, there's not a million freaking sanctioning bodies and a million different shows. It's a lot more close-knit group, a lot more, just a tighter community, in my experience.
So,
MMA's a lot of douchebags.
So my question is, my question is, that you mentioned something about more of a standardized rule around the world, almost, you know, an international organization that has set a rules. So do you feel that that's a key factor for keeping the amateur growth being more successful here?
Yeah. It would help. It'd be all fractured, and how would you even identify the talent in MMA? How could you even identify who in the amateurs who is at the top? Because we're so spread out, it would be really hard to figure it out. Because there's a lot of people who are about the same. Now, the top of the amateurs is like the bottom of like the middle of the pros, pretty much. At least in this state. So you turn pro and get some easy fights for a while. But I wish they could do that because that's such a sick program. Just really help this sport, and I mean, it's great to watch. Then we can watch the UFC buy it because they had to compete with it. probably just buy it and then fire everybody and say, nah, you fucking kids, go home. No more fighting. Go home. Get the pay-per-view. Watch MMA.
Now, see, that's something I fucking, you know, wish we would see more of here is, a breakdown for amateurs, you know, to where we could successfully see them grow in mixed martial arts instead of just putting in, like, this strict 18 and above. I think kids under 18 should be able to fight with a specific regulation. What's so funny, asshole?
Dude, I'm looking at this picture of Chris Gregory, and he's pointing at some guy holding the title belt while he's holding his dick with his other hand.
What are you talking about? I'm too drunk to even defend myself right now. I'm going to be completely.
Dude, Lapaki, here's what's fucked up is he ain't grabbing his dick like a man. He's, like, pinching the head. What the fuck? You grab your dick like a man. Dude, in prison, that's the sign for you're a fucking homo.
See, now I'm going to have to change it right now. You guys are fucking pricks.
You're the one grabbing your dick and not even doing it right.
Dude, it is. I'm sorry, man. I had to scratch that shit. I don't give a fuck if I'm on camera or not. I got an inch on my mouth. I'm going to scratch them.
But you're not cupping it like a man, dude. You're cradling it like it's fucking a sausage. You're like, dude, I'm going to pinch
the dip. You said a sausage. A sausage.
Oh, shit.
Hey, just give me your brother weighed in at 347 pounds.
347,
oh,
big! Ooh! So this is a super heavyweight.
Okay.
Okay, now let me ask you. Does anybody here have Trent getting out of the first round?
I can't. I'm the referee.
No, not you.
I can't say anything.
I'm not talking to you. Fuck the question. I'm going to say it.
I'm working.
That's right.
Bro.
I forget. You guys are working. So here, let me ask you a question. If there was a big fat Pillsbury Doughman fighting Godzilla, who would you pick?
I would probably pick the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, bro.
Chris, I just can't. I can't believe you put that picture up on Facebook, Chris. I'm still just kind of disturbed by it.
he could make it out of the first round.
Oh, dude, I'm sharing this shit too. Fuck yes.
I think that's unrealistic that he could make it to the. He's got a lot of experience. He's been around a long time. He can. I'm sure he can survive in there for a bit with almost anybody. So, just that experience is going to give him that. And Kovacs is not a fast starter, so he won't just come out and try to knock him out in the first 30 seconds, I don't think. So.
Okay, well, look, we really can't discuss much about this card in general and pick fights.
Well, we
I want to ask – no, shut up. I want to ask Devin, since we have him here tonight, who do you got?
Shut up, bitch.
Wow.
Who do you got in tomorrow night? Who do you got in tomorrow night's UFC?
Ooh, man, I got Verdum all the way, man. I love Nogueira, and I will not be mad if Nogueira pulls the upset, but Verdum is in his prime. Nogueira has been more and more declining. I just think Verdum's got more tools. I do not think he'll finish, but I definitely think he'll win the decision. I think Nogueira's got his boxing, and that's the only real advantage he has, but I think Verdun's got him in the Muay Thai, and I think he'll have enough to stifle the ground game of Nogueira. Dude, I got Verdum all the way through. I mean, don't get me wrong. I won't be mad if Nogueira pulls an upset, but I definitely think Nogueira is at a disadvantage. He doesn't have as many tools as Verdum does in the cage anymore.
K1 Vaicavallo by destruction, second round.
Yeah, well, we've seen Big Nog knocked out a lot in his career.
Dude,
not a
knocked
lot,
out
once,
and
bro.
Just not as, like,
twice.
he's just not as sharp anymore. I mean, like, yeah, he beat Brendan Schaub or whatever, but outside of that, man, I just feel like he's not going to have the Brazilian advantage. I mean, there's two Brazilians fighting. I think the crowd's going to be split. I think Werdum just has more tools. You know, he's not going to rely just on his boxing or just on his jiu-jitsu. He's got solid Muay Thai. He's got solid leg kicks, man. He's got more tools than I feel like Nogueira is going to be able to bring to the table. And everybody knows what Nogueira has. He's got his boxing and his jiu-jitsu. And outside of that, Nogueira just doesn't quite. Yeah.
Do you see Werdum coming in different because this is a 5-round fight? Or do you see him addressing this as the same as he would as a 3-round fight?
I think he'll be smart. I think early on, you know, I think Werdum has really good kicks, and that's something that's not in Nogueira's, like, wheelhouse. And I think that Werdum, if he's able to use his kicks and keep that distance and chop at him early, I think there's no way Nogueira is going to be able to keep up the pace for a 5-round fight. I don't think he's going to be able to pull off anything tricky enough for Werdum to not be able to defend. I just don't see it happening. I think Werdum just has the tools in his arsenal to be able to win a 5-round fight against Nogueira, no matter what the situation is. So, I mean, don't get me wrong.
I didn't get him a title shot.
Exactly, dude. I think Werdum is up there. He's come in. Once he's come back into the UFC, I think he's done solid work. He's fought top guys, and he's done well. You know, I'd love to see Nogueira's jiu-jitsu come into play against a guy like Kane, for sure.
Well, you know...
Are you excited to see Kane versus JDS3?
You know, I don't know. I mean, Kane, or Junior Dos Santos in his last fight, looked good, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like a fight where you could really test where his cardio was at. You know, I think the thing that Kane really exposed was that he was able to push the pace and really make Junior Dos Santos uncomfortable for a long amount of time. You know, I'd love to see Junior Dos Santos get in a fight against another grinder before he got to Kane, but there's not a whole lot of guys at heavyweight that can fight like that and they can push the pace like that. So it's kind of one of those things that, like, yeah, he looked good in his last fight. His tank looked really good. But you never really know until you face a guy like Kane that can push the pace at that level for that long of a time. So, I mean, I'm a fan of it. I think that he should fight at least one more fight to be able to earn that rematch. You know, his win in his last fight was impressive, but I'd like to see him fight one more time before he got another title fight.
See, for me, I'm not as concerned about his cardio as I'm concerned about his ability to wrestle with somebody at Kane's level. I think he should have fought Daniel Cormier. And if Cormier won, then he gets a shot at John Jones. And if JDS won, he got a shot at Kane.
I like that fight a lot. I do. I don't disagree with that prospect. I don't really know about Cormier. I still feel like he is just doing everything he can at heavyweight to levy for a light heavyweight shot. I feel like, you know, coming in as a heavyweight at 225, all he's really saying is I belong at 225 or 205. I don't think he's... I really don't feel like any of his fights at heavyweight are to vie for a heavyweight title. I think he's trying to do everything he can to raise a ruckus to get a 205-pound shot. He doesn't want to fight Kane at all. I think he's made that really clear, and Kane hasn't shown any signs that he's going anywhere. So, you know, that's the fight I'd like to see. Junior Dos Santos, it's not really his cardio. It's just his ability to deal with somebody that's aggressive and in his face like that. You know, I think he had plenty of opportunities in this fight against Cain Velasquez in the second fight to be able to use his boxing, and he just didn't have that desire to fire when he had the chance. So, you know, until he shows that, it doesn't really matter what his cardio is. Exactly. I mean, he's worried about the takedown, but you got to not be worried about enough to use your own game, and his game is to throw his hands. And, you know, if you're too worried about the takedown that you're not able to throw your hands, when that's your strength, I mean, that's the primary problem. He needs to throw his hands when he has the opportunity. You know, if you're going to get taken down and lose the round, that's fine, but you got to throw your hands when you have the opportunity. And in the last fight, it seemed like he was too hesitant to be able to use his strengths to, you know, even if he got taken down and lost 2, 3, 4 rounds, he wasn't in the point where he was throwing his hands to be able to win the fight when he had the opportunity.
Yeah, this is I could really care less about JDS Kane 3 because I really don't see it going any different than JDS Kane 2. I just think that all the zombies are like, we want the rematch, we want the rematch. And so, Dana, I can cash in on a big heavyweight fight, put it on pay-per-view, and booyah. There they go.
Dude, strangely, I feel like that's kind of the case of the UFC in general for the last couple months, is they don't really care about what's the best fight on paper. They care about what's the best fight for making money. So,
Local fight cards when they put guys on their card that shouldn't be on it because they can sell tickets.
Exactly.
If you build the right fight card, you don't have to worry about who's on your card to sell tickets. People will buy it.
Yeah.
You got kick-ass fight.
Let me ask you guys.
I totally agree.
What about them losing their biggest Brazilian sponsor, one of their longtime backers and sponsors, going into Brazil? I mean, obviously that's kind of a weird situation with floating around, but you know, for them to just ban them instantly overnight, you know, and then right before they head to Brazil.
I think it's because they owe them like $100,000. Like they owe Praetorian owes them a lot of money, from what I understand.
Did you read that statement about Dana White said that they're the most lenient organization in sports when it comes to sponsorships? They allow their fighters to have any sponsor they want, and that they support them going out and getting sponsors. Here's the funny thing is he goes, you'll never find an NFL, NBA, or baseball player getting sponsorships because the NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball won't allow it, but we allow our fighters. So how much of that is bullshit, guys?
For the low price of $100,000.
It's all bullshit because here's the truth. Here's the truth is that the only time you don't see NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL guys with their sponsors is when they're wearing the jersey of the team they play for. But if you're going to try and tell me that Michael Jordan wasn't sponsored by Nike, Gatorade, Visa, every golf course, every cigar planet, every casino, all these fucking places he had sponsorships from, the only difference was that the NBA was paying him $25 million a year in 1990, so they can say, hey, you don't get to fucking have this sponsor because it's not really, like, he can survive without that sponsorship for, like, that hour. You know, and there's, like, things in the contract of, like, the players' unions and the league that state, look, if you're not an actual league sponsor, like, you know, you have to be a Nike or Adidas, I think, is who has the NBA jerseys right now. Reebok is in the NFL. You know, I mean, that's because they're paying them fucking millions and millions of dollars. And even if you're, like, a little pissant that fucking sits on the bench and, like, collects six figures or a little seven figures, you're still making more money than 95% of the fighters. And they still get to think about the...
What'd you think about the feed where I read it the other day between, I think, Volkman and Fitch talking about starting a fighters union?
Yeah,
I don't think a fighters union is the answer. A fighters union just puts another person in a fighters corner that's going to take money out of their pocket for not really doing shit.
Yeah.
Now,
all these guys are like, we need a union. But they don't understand that unions cost money, and then you got to pay them a cut, and then, you know, I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's something I want to touch back on. You were talking about the differences of the NFL versus the UFC with sponsorships. Now, I could be mistaken because I'm not, you know, literally I don't know everything, but a portion of proceeds that the major organizations like NFL, NBA, that make, their profit goes back to players, unlike at a much higher substantial percentage than the UFC does, correct?
Dude, the NFL players, I think they get 53 or 47% of the profit that the owners make.
Now, the percentage of the UFC is a bonus. That's nobody's business handshake kind of deal that they don't have to disclose. Does anybody on this panel, from Devin to Jason to Clint, does anybody here believe they're giving more than 4%, 5% of their total profits out?
No.
No way.
They cleared $2.1 billion last year.
Well, I don't know if that's a net or a gross number, though. That's my question.
All right, I'll pull it back up. Hold on. We'll find it.
Because if it's a gross number, then it...
it's a pretty gross number. I mean, either way.
I mean, because then you got to, like, take into consideration what does it cost. I mean, they do have, like, you know, a complete corporate structure that where, you know, they have employees that you don't ever see. So, I mean, it's not like it's just, like, Dana, the Fertittas, and then a whole bunch of fighters. Like, it's a fucking machine, dude. So, I mean, they do have a pretty high expense ratio, I'm sure. But, I mean, they're still doing well. But, I mean, dude, as long as the fighters are willing to fight there for fucking nickels and dimes, they're still not going to get more money. I mean, it all
That's
boils
true.
Right down to this, dude. All these guys sit here and say is, I'll do whatever it takes to fight in the UFC. All right, well, here's $5, jerk job. Oh, thanks, Dana. Thanks, Dana. And then these motherfuckers want to leave and they complain. You know, like, fuck, Jacob Wolfman wasn't complaining when he was in the UFC.
Dude, okay, I got your numbers, guys.
John
you
Fitch
ready
wasn't
for this?
Complaining when he was making $300,000 in fucking bonuses.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's my point.
Look, 2011, they made $230 million off of pay-per-views, okay? And this is what they paid out. Total in purses was $31 million.
Yeah,
that's
but
just,
what did they pay
just,
out in – what did they pay out in
production and all that other good stuff.
Yeah, you know, they've got production, they've got people
marketing.
At the office.
Okay, look.
The menu.
Okay. We're just going off pay-per-view numbers. We're not going off gates or anything, okay? So right now, $230 million. That's $200 million left over, basically, after paying your fighters for a 1 year. So $200 million. You guys help me break this $200 million down. How much goes to production and everything else? $100 million? $150 million? $60 million? To run the company of Zuffa, all in told, how much do you guys think out of that $200 million just off pay-per-view goes into the company running it?
$150?
Well, I bet they go.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure that Joe Rogan is making close to seven figures a year. I'm sure that Goldie is in the mid six figures. John Anik probably in the low six figures. Kenny Florian's in the low six figures. Chuck Liddell's making seven figures a year. Sean Shelby's making seven figures a year. I mean, dude, there's, like, the upper echelon of the UFC people are all making serious coin. I mean, Joe Rogan's been there, what, like, 16 years now? Like, he was
yeah.
there before the Zuffa train. Like, he was there when it was, like, what was that? What was it? Sports Sterling? No, not Sterling. SEG or what? I mean, fuck,
okay,
dude.
Now,
he's been there for...
UFC, maybe. Maybe a little bit further, actually. I mean, he wasn't there for the first UFCs.
No, but he was announcing the UFCs in Georgia and Denver and fucking
okay,
Alabama.
I mean, so, look, okay, so look, I think you guys have made a fair point. We're going to take out of that $200 million left over from just pay-per-views, not gates, not anything else. We'll say $150 million to take care of paying everybody, production, travel costs, arena rentals, all that, okay? Now, you got to add on the $700 million contract over 7 years for Fox Sports. That's $100 million a year. So now they still have $150 million left before you get into merchandising. So out of that $150 million, you can't tell me that you couldn't take another $30 million as a collective group of fighters and get that out of them.
I mean, I don't know, man. They don't have to pay fighters more because the fighters don't have them in a position where they have to pay them more. You know, it's like I say this fucking a million times, and I understand it's really a pretty simple concept. It's very simple economics 101. You have a supply and a demand. Right now, there's a huge supply of fighters that want to get in the UFC, and there's a very small demand. So when they look at a guy and they say, hey, you can take this fight for $6,000,
And if the first guy says no, well, there's 15 guys right behind him that are willing to say yes. Until that dynamic switches and there's 15 guys that say no and only one guy that says yes, they're not going to get fucking paid more. If these fucking fighters, and I don't really give a shit, if anybody wants to call in and argue with me about this, please do. Because I'll love
310-742-1799. Don't be scared, homie.
You guys, these fighters need to do, this is exactly what they need to do, okay? You need to start leveraging these promotions against each other and fucking increasing your paycheck. If you're not willing to actually, like, put your feet down and say, look, XFC is offering me $5,500 to fight. UFC is offering me $7,500 to fight. If you're not willing to try and leverage that against the XFC, then that's your fault, man. Don't complain when you're not getting more fucking money from the UFC. I don't want to hear it anymore. I'm fucking tired of it. You guys are willing to sign and fight at Zuffa just to say you fight at Zuffa. It might not even be a good fight for you. They're probably putting you in there more than likely on short notice against some fucking guy coming off a 12-week fight camp. That's a fucking killer.
You're going to get that one opportunity. You just made a good point.
And then you're never going to get that chance again.
Dude, you've got to decide as a fighter, am I fighting for because I want to be a Zuffa fighter or am I fighting because I want to make a paycheck? You know, I feel like they've got to, you know, you see that. You see certain guys, I'm sorry, whatever the fuck that was. You see certain guys who are like, dude, it's the UFC or nothing. It doesn't matter. If I don't make it to the UFC, I failed. You know. And then you see guys out there like, fuck it, I just want to fight and get paid to do it. So that's the mentality of the fighters who just want to fight are the ones who need to step up. Because the ones who are Zuffa bound in heart and refuse to ever fucking see anything different, they're not going to care. We posted that question a couple weeks ago. Who would fight for Zuffa for free? You don't know how many fucking fighters out there said they fight for free at Zuffa. They didn't care who it was. Are you fucking stupid?
And then they'll turn around and bitch about, Zuffa didn't pay me.
Dude, it would be an honor to fight there. I'd fight there for free. No, if you would fight for Zuffa for free, you're stupid. You would put all that time, all that effort into your career to go fight for free just because it's Zuffa? Somebody out there give me a reason why that's fucking okay. I dare you. Fucking call in. 310-742-1799.
What's the goal?
If your goal is not to make
a bunch of money, then what can it be an okay thing to do? If you already have a way of making a living, but you still love fighting, you want to take it as far as you can, but it's not about money, then why not just accomplishing that end goal? Why wouldn't that be worth something?
But they all make it about money. By complaining about the paycheck, they're making it about money.
Well, that's like when Fishman cried wolf, talking about fucking this, that, whatever, and then Dana said it straight. Like, you know, they gave him over $300,000 that wasn't going to get contracted in this contract, non-discretionary bonuses that they gave him. Aside from that, who's to say all these other guys that fight in Zuffa that they don't get some type of bonus, whether it be $300,000, $500,000, or $50,000? I don't know.
They don't.
I'm not.
They don't. It's a 1%. It's a 1%, dude.
No, it's not. There's backroom bonuses going to a lot more guys than 1%, bro.
The point
I'm trying to make is that they do give bonuses up to guys that
bonus,
is not reported.
Though. It's not a one-time. It's not like he got a one-time bonus of $302,000. He made that over the course of like 6 fights. So, like, just because they announce a fight as, like, knockout of the night, that's not the only guy that gets a bonus. You may not, like, if Jason wins, like, let's just look at it like this. If Jason wins knockout of the night, he gets the $50,000 or $65,000 that night, right? But I had a highlight reel KO myself. I may only get $30,000 bonus, but Dana's not sitting there telling everybody about it. He just walks in the fucking back room, hands me a fucking envelope, and says, have a good night. Thanks for the fucking performance.
Exactly. And when they were getting those bonuses, they weren't bitching about it, bro. But now that they're not, and they're not there, do you think for a minute that it's fucking he's talking shit about the UFC, talking about the hospital, or they just wanted to see me go? Do you think for a minute if they offered him a fight for, like, whatever he was getting at the end of his contract, that he wouldn't go back to the UFC instead of fighting World Series of Fighting or 1FC or one of these other promotions? Tits would go back to the UFC in a heartbeat.
I agree you probably would. But, I mean, look, if you're fighting for the biggest paycheck because you want to make money, then you go where the biggest paycheck is. But if you're fighting just because you want to fucking say you fought in Zuffa, I disagree with that, man. I mean, I don't think that's the right mentality, you know? So, you know, and, you know, look, I understand people get bonuses, but let's be honest. On the main card, probably a good percentage. What's the percentage on the undercard and on the Fox card, on the Facebook card to get bonuses? Honestly, what do you guys think it is? 10, 20, 30%?
You never know, bro.
Dude, well, I've talked with enough guys who fought in the UFC, and I tell you what, one or two of them might have talked about bonuses, but not all of them.
Well, yeah, but, dude, we're also talking about a guy named John Fitch. Well, what fight really did he – I mean, what fights do you really stick out in your mind about John Fitch? Where you were like, damn, that was a fucking stellar performance.
Damien Maia.
You know what I mean? And he's still – like, John Fitch, nobody on this panel will disagree, is one of the most boring guys in the fucking UFC to watch fight. Is he good? Is he effective? Yes, he is. Do I respect his skill level? Yes, I do. Do I enjoy watching him? Fuck no, I don't. Like, he should go train at Jackson's MMA or Winklejohn MMA or whatever the fuck it's called down there. Because, dude, he's as boring as the fucking Spurs.
Okay, so what's the ultimate reason to fight for the UFC then? It's the paycheck?
Dude, I'm not saying that fighting in the UFC is a bad thing,
No, man.
I'm just saying that.
You know,
because it's the big show, dude. I mean, it is. I mean, I understand, like, why these guys want to fight there. Like, I get it. It makes sense. Like, you know, it's like you'd rather play in the Canadian Football League.
On the road show, bro.
Huh?
Let that motherfucker go in the ramp. You're going to have this conversation. One of y'all should tweet the War Machine and bring him on and let him talk shit. Because it'd be very entertaining.
This is the thing. You know, look, we've seen it. We've heard it. A lot of guys who leave the UFC afterwards talk about the way they were treated or how they didn't like this or didn't like that. You know, he's banning Randy Couture from ring coaching his kid in the corner. All this, you know, up and down bullshit, you know, ultimately, I know they're right now the most successful MMA organization in the world. If guys can go other places and get solid competition with solid paychecks, they'll great. And like what Bucky said, they need to learn to start to leverage that shit one organization against the other to where eventually, you know, the UFC's not the only player on the block, in the zombie's mind, you know. I don't know. How long do you think this is going to be the NFL, the NBA? Do you think it's going to be UFC forever? Or do you think there are people that are able to crawl under their level?
No, dude. It'll always be the UFC.
Okay. Now, how much of the UFC is dependent on Dana White?
On where it's at today? 90% of where the UFC is at right now is because of Dana White.
So if Dana White, God forbid, tomorrow he got hit by a fucking car and raped in the street, you know, does the UFC continue down that strong path that it's been on? Is it the presence of Dana White that builds the UFC to such a stature that it is? I mean, could somebody else step in and be the Don King of UFC?
Well, yeah, I think the ball's big enough and has enough inertia at this point in time to where they can keep going. But without the things that Dana has done,
I don't know. He just sent me a message that says at hotel, but cannot get my room. Can I call you and get help with the room?
No, you cannot get help with the hotel room.
Mute him, Skippy.
Fucking muted.
Now, back to my point, is that, dude, I mean, at this point, if Dana stepped away, the UFC would continue to operate at the rate it's going. Would the UFC be where it's at today, where without the things that Dana's done, whether you like what he's done, hate what he's done, he's made the right moves and kept them in the spotlight the right way to where they are where they are, man. I mean, he was the right guy for the job. He's the guy that convinced the Fertittas to buy the UFC from SCG. He's the guy that, like, took the ball and ran with it and put them on the map where they're at today, dude. I mean, it wasn't Zuffa and UFC back in 2003, bro. They weren't the premier, man. They were like, number four, number five. And now they are the big dog.
Now, do you believe I 100% no way, shape, or form disagree with what you say. He is the reason that, you know, the UFC got to where it was by his hyping, his matching, his building different parts of the company's brands and you know, and all that. And obviously everybody out there knows he had a team and partners and help and stuff. We're not, you know, we all understand that. But has he become so ingrained that he is, I feel he's becoming almost arrogant about his power as of in the last 6 months. Do you see that? That he's starting to feel like he's bigger than the UFC?
No, I don't think he's changed at all. I think it's just that now you're getting more of these clowns that are trying to, like, step up to him, and they don't really know what they're getting involved in.
Exactly.
Fair point, fair point.
But on that note, fellas.
Huh?
I was just going to say, on that note, it's 3 a.m., and I'm going to holler, because I'm not going to pass out.
Yeah,
y'all listen to me snoring.
Come on, little buddy.
Yeah, I think we're going to get close to wrapping this up in a second anyway. You know, everybody, I want to
No, I'm not done with this. I'm not done with this because I really feel like by saying that Dana is the only reason. I mean, and Dana's not the only reason. There's been a lot of great fights that have helped put the UFC where it's at, you know. But without Dana's hyping and promotion of those fights, the fighters would have never had the stage to perform and do what they did at the level they were doing it at.
True. Now, here's an interesting twist before we get off. Let me just give a shout out to my sponsors, Eat Tank Tattoo, Vision Smoke Shop, Clinch Custom Mouthguards at GetClinch.com, Clock Tower Club, and thank you, MMA Nighthouse, for all you do. You guys can find all those sponsors on the link on Blog Talk Radio, find us on Facebook, find us on Twitter. Do you believe that the emergence of social media at the same time as the UFC was a crucial element in their being so successful?
No, not really. I mean, they were doing successful shit back in... I mean, it really started, man, in 2001 before there was a big social media push.
Well, for all you folks out there, we got about a minute left. Tomorrow, if you guys are anywhere near downtown Redmond and you need grow supplies, I'll be working at the garden shop in the morning. We have kick-ass HDI lighting on sale. I've got all the Humboldt County's newts. We've also got a great line of Botanicare. So if you guys want to grow some laughing green tomatoes, hit me up. We got all the great products. Big shout-out to all the boys that joined us tonight. Big shout-out to the protege, DJ Linderman, calling in. Okay, boys, we're going to get out. I think we'll finish this with a little bit of a Dio. Stand up and shout.